Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. First of all, Happy New Year to all. The once-a-year change in our physical calendar occurs today, but change is almost always happening in the digital and electronic realms almost every day. One of the things that could be happening soon is an FCC decision on so-called net neutrality. We've all probably heard the term. There's been plenty of back and forth in both online and physical news organizations on the topic. The FCC opened a period of comments from the public and got about 4 million comments, though many were form letters from what are called AstroTurf roots organizations. PR firms hired mostly by opponents to make it look like there's a groundswell of public grassroots opposition, in this case, to net neutrality regulation. In the midst of all this back and forth, however, the question of what net neutrality actually means has often gotten lost in the rhetoric. If you have any interest in getting a pretty good, very short, and very useful primer on the subject and what it may mean to us web users, the clever folks at commoncraft.com have prepared a 3-minute summary that they've posted on YouTube. The URL address, of course, is one of those long ones. We'll put it on the Electronic Cottage page for this date in the Public Affairs Archive section of the WERU website, which of course is at weru.org. But you can also go to YouTube and search for Net Neutrality Explained by Common Craft, and you should be able to find it there. Got that? Okay, now on to the real topic for today's program. On a recent edition, we started to look at web browsers and search engines, what they do, and what options are available these days for us users. Most folks just use whatever web browser came with the computer or smartphone or tablet that they use. For many purposes, those choices seem to work well enough for everyday use. The major search engines that come with most of the major browsers today are either Google or Bing. Once upon a time, there were dozens of search engines vying for our attention, but over the years, those two behemoths have come to command over 80%, and some say over 90%, of the search engine marketplace in the U.S. But though they're clearly the 800-pound gorillas of the search world, there are actually hundreds of other search engines. Some are designed for specific subject areas, so if you're interested in searching for abbreviations or legal information or medical information or videos or Twitter hashtags, there's a search engine for all of those purposes and many, many more. Other search engines are actually aggregators, which means that they search several different search engines and return the combined results to the user. There are even search engines that specifically search both Google and Bing for you and return results on the same page, such as bing.com/google.com or askboth.com. And then there are those search engines designed to maximize user privacy. Search engines like Google or Bing make their money, as commercial television stations do, by selling our eyes and our attention to advertisers. But unlike television stations, search engines keep track of what you search for, where you go on the web, and a whole lot more. For some people, that's a whole lot more than they want a search engine or anyone else to know about their tastes and interests, intellectual or otherwise. So, in response to concerns about privacy, several search engines have emerged which make it a point not to keep those kinds of records. DuckDuckGo is one of them. It doesn't use cookies or even record IP addresses, so there's no way that anything a person searches for can be associated with that person or with the machine that he or she uses. And that means that there is no, quote, customization, unquote, of search results based on what a search engine thinks you would like to see. A person who usually seeks information from Fox News and another person who usually seeks information from MSNBC, for example, will see exactly the same results using DuckDuckGo if they search for, say, Hillary Clinton or Jeb Bush. That is not true of Google or Bing. DuckDuckGo also has a simple interface. One commentator has said of its interface that it out-Googles Google for simplicity. The results appear very fast, and they load as you scroll down, so you don't even have to click on pages to see more results. IxQuick, I-X-Q-U-I-C-K, is another privacy-focused search engine, this one based in the Netherlands. It's an aggregator, so it searches several other search engines, but gets rid of identifying information so that those search engines never see who you are. You can even click on a result and choose to route your request for a page from a website through IxQuick's proxy server, so that the site you go to when you click on a link can't see your IP address. That makes you pretty invisible to those who are trying to create a profile to sell you ads based on what you do on the web. If you're fond of searching Google, you might try startpage.com. This service is also run by IxQuick. It only searches Google, however, but without Google being able to identify you. So you get the benefits of Google's search capability without getting the drawbacks of Google slurping up information about you. Choosing a search engine, like everything else on the web, except possibly staying out of the clutches of the NSA, involves choice. If a person is interested in leaving a lighter trail on the web, one of these privacy-focused search engines might be a good choice. We'll keep on looking for opportunities for us all to make more and better choices in our increasingly digital world, right here on future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.